There has never been a more critical time than right now to hear him and obey. God commands us to pick up the sword and fight. Uncensored, unafraid, and unstoppable, May 10th, 2022. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu. Since the Roe v. Wade decision 49 years ago, 63 million American babies have been slaughtered before they were ever even born. That's 3,500 every single day. And of these 63 million murders, by far the largest single perpetrator is Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood carries out about one-third of the abortions in America at hundreds of its clinics around the country. Planned Parenthood and its leaders are some of the worst mass killers in the history of the world. They're certainly the worst in the history of this country. There is a systematic lie that Planned Parenthood tells the public. They get away with this lie because the press is in on it and repeats their lies as unquestioned fact. The lie that they tell is that abortions are just a small part of what Planned Parenthood does. That was the line that they repeated over and over again in 2015. Abortions are just 3% of their services. But of course, even if that was true, and it's not, it wouldn't matter. Because abortion is baby murder, period. And it doesn't matter if baby murder is just a tiny part of your life, because it is completely heinous. But also, again, it's just a lie. Planned Parenthood's entire existence revolves around abortion. They're able to game their numbers by counting a single abortion as one service, one product. And then if somebody visits them for something like birth control or anything else, they count every single item in a bag they give them as a separate product or service. If abortions were illegal in America right now, the vast majority of Planned Parenthoods would shut down. In fact, all of them might. Because they would have no real reason to exist. Planned Parenthood's political lobbying is about abortion. The millions upon millions of dollars that they rake in from left-wing foundations and George Soros and everyone else are about abortion. They open their baby murder mills in poor neighborhoods and near high schools to find vulnerable people to prey on, to lure into aborting, to killing, to murdering their own children. 11 years ago, Abby Johnson exposed the real business model of Planned Parenthood: mass abortions on an industrial scale. Abby Johnson once worked at a Planned Parenthood. In fact, she ran one of their clinics as its director, facilitating thousands of abortions. She also had two abortions herself. But remember, nobody is beyond redemption with the power of Christ. In September of 2009, Abby was called to assist in an abortion at 13 weeks of gestation. She watched firsthand via ultrasound what an abortion really looks like. She saw the child being aborted looked so much like the ultrasound images of her own daughter. She witnessed the baby squirming and twisting and fighting against the vacuum tube that was used ultimately to end its life. After that, Abby couldn't hide from the truth about what she was doing. She resigned from the clinic and then became one of the most famous anti-abortion activists in America. Abortion is the worst crime in the history of this country, and Abby Johnson knows exactly how it works. She revealed how at her own clinic, there were target quotas for abortions in order to bring in more revenue to the clinic after the 2008 financial crisis. Abby is the author of the book Unplanned about her personal pro-life journey. That book was later adapted into a feature-length film. We highly recommend both the book and the movie, which directly exposed the horrific truth about the abortion industrial complex. We're fortunate to have Abby Johnson with us, who joins us now. Abby, thank you so much for coming. We really appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
So what's the attitude inside Planned Parenthood toward abortion? Do they have any remorse at all about what it is that they do?
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, they're very proud of what they do. In fact, just a few years ago, it was right before their previous president, Cecile Richards, resigned. She said that at Planned Parenthood, abortion is as important as providing cancer screenings for women. So, I mean, this is what they do. This is who they are. They're very proud of the work that they do. You know, back a long time ago, when I started at Planned Parenthood over 20 years ago, they were out there saying, oh, we're about preventative healthcare. We're about providing contraception. We're about, you know, pap smears and family planning, this sort of thing. But that has so changed over the past two decades. Now, Planned Parenthood has got abortion-only facilities in many, many cities. So they have facilities that are performing only abortions 6 days a week, 60 hours a week. So that's all they do all day long, every single day of the week, except for Sunday. And they don't do anything else. They don't provide contraceptives. They don't do STD testings, none of that. It's just abortion all day, every day. So they've definitely changed it's always been about abortion for Planned Parenthood, but at least sort of forward facing their appearance. They were trying to pretend that it was something else, but now they're not even hiding it. They're not even trying to pretend.
And that lie is to desensitize the general public to the idea of killing babies. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. And they did a pretty good job. I mean, back when I first started, the mantra was safe, legal, rare, safe, legal, rare. And that's, you know, Bill Clinton said it, Barack Obama said it. That was generally what the media said. That's what everyone said. That's even what, you know, a lot of moderate Republicans said. You know, we want to keep abortion safe, legal, and rare. And that made sense to a lot of people. So people who were, you know, sort of in the middle, you know, and they were like, well, I mean, I'm sort of Republican, but I'm not like hardcore on the pro-life issue, but I want to keep abortion safe, legal, and rare. When I left Planned Parenthood in 2009, one thing that Planned Parenthood was sure of was that Roe was going nowhere. And I think it was because they had, and this was just 12 years ago, okay, they were so certain that Roe would never be overturned. And I think that was because the majority of the country, they were sort of fine just where things were. You know, we're going to keep abortion safe, legal, and rare. And Roe is the law of the land. Most people felt like it was settled law, like it was going nowhere. Then there was this drastic shift, and the pendulum swung so far to the left that it made people in the middle feel very, very uncomfortable. And then you had, you know, people saying, well, we want abortion easily accessible, elective, available electively through all 9 months of pregnancy. And people who were in the middle, sort of independents, were saying, whoa, that's too far. What happened to safe, legal, and rare? Right? That's what we wanted. But Planned Parenthood and NARAL and NAF and the abortion industry and the National Organization for Women, they were all saying, no, that's not enough, right? We want it elective, on demand, without apology. And by the way, you're going to pay for it. And these people in the mushy middle were like, no, that's too much. And that is what started a revolution inside of the states. And that is why we are where we are today, now with Roe seemingly going to be overturned.
You know, some of these pro-abortion protesters and activists and people on these panels, my jaw drops when I watch, as MSNBC the other day, there were four faces on the screen, they were all talking, and one of them said, whoever leaked this, I would like to make sweet love to them. Yeah. They are a hero. And as a matter of fact, when I get
pregnant, I want to abort the baby.
If I get pregnant by a conservative, I will take joy in aborting the fetus. Mm-hmm. This is the way that people talk. Some of the loudest pro-abortion protesters at the Supreme Court or at the justices' homes or outside the churches seem seriously mentally deranged. What do you think is the root of this behavior?
Well, let me tell you something, Stu. You know, and I mean, this is not popular in the pro-life movement to say. I'll just say that up front. But the women having abortions today are so callous, and they are a different type of woman having abortion today than they even were 10, 15 years ago. I don't know if you've seen some of the videos of the protest out in front of St. Patrick's in New York. These women were bringing baby dolls representing the babies that they had aborted. They were stomping on them, just vile, slamming them on the ground, you know, saying, this was my baby, you know, F these babies, you know, this sort of thing. I mean, just
I'm killing the baby. One of the.
Yeah. It's such a callousness that has taken over our society regarding these preborn children. And just yesterday, I was put in contact with a woman who is planning on having an abortion. And she is having an abortion because she does not want to be pregnant. This woman's 20 years old. She does not want to be pregnant over the summer and ruin her beach body. And this is the second woman in the past 2 months that I have been put in contact with that is having an abortion because she doesn't want to get stretch marks, or she doesn't want to ruin her body, or whatever it may be. And that is the sole reason that she is killing her baby. And that's not uncommon. We, you know, see women taking abortion pills on the steps of the Supreme Court on December 1st. We saw a woman on national TV a few weeks ago taking the abortion pill on national TV. The callousness that we are seeing, I run a ministry to get abortion clinic workers out of the industry and get them into a relationship with Christ. We have abortion clinic workers leaving the industry, not because they have witnessed an abortion and that is what is, you know, shook them to their core, not because they have pieced body parts of babies back together and that's what they can't stand anymore. They're leaving the abortion industry because of the callousness of the women who are coming in. And they're like, I can't stand being around these clients, these patients. They're like, these women, I've been here for 4 months and I've seen the same woman twice. And she's coming in so cavalier about killing her baby. And these abortion workers came into the industry believing that they were helping these women who were so desperate and vulnerable and in need. And they were so sad about having an abortion, right? Because unfortunately, that's the narrative that the pro-life movement has put out for so long, that these women are just poor victims of their circumstance and that they're so scared and they're so full of fear and that's why they're choosing abortion. But let me tell you something, that is not the woman who is walking into an abortion clinic today. It's just not. And we, as a pro-life movement, have to stop pushing that narrative. These women, not all of them, of course there are some women who are coerced into having abortions. Of course there are some women whose boyfriends are forcing them or whose parents are forcing them or whatever, of course. But I'm telling you, Stu, in today's society, those women are the minority. The majority of women walking in to have abortions today, they are, I don't know if they're demonically oppressed, they are taking joy in aborting their children.
I think that's kind of the truth. What I was asking when I was asking for what you believe the root of this behavior is. Where does it come from? How can a person, a human being, be joyful or gleeful? When I was watching the black woman on the steps of the church and she had the baby and some umbilical cord representation and she was dragging it around and she was punching the baby in the head and slamming the baby on the ground and taunting people who follow Jesus, loving Christians, and saying, I'm killing the baby, I'm killing the baby. What is the root of this type of evil?
I mean, it has to be demonic. It has to be. It has to be just evil, because, and just a painfully seared conscience. And something in our country has just changed, because when I worked in the clinic, you know, almost 13 years ago, we just didn't see that. But I think we have normalized abortion in this country so much. And women have had so many abortions. One woman may have had, I mean, I've met women who have had 15, 16, 17 abortions. What does that do to your soul? You know, what does that do to your spirit to know that you have murdered that many of your own children? Abortion is the most, you know, unnatural thing that a woman will do to her child. And to have done it 5, 6, 12, 16 times, I think it does something to you mentally. I think it does something to you spiritually. It's just not normal.
This is nothing new either. I mean, in the days of the Canaanites, with women offering up their baby to be scorched to death on a statue heated by hot fire, the hottest you could get it, red hot, and putting your brand newborn baby into the hands of this statue of the god of Moloch. Have you received threats over your pro-life activism? What kind of things have people said to you?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. We get threats at times, but you know, we don't live in fear.
That's right.
You know, I know that I'm on the right side of history, and this is the right thing to do. So, I mean, certainly we're not out here screaming out our address or, you know, whatever. I mean, we take precautions, but no, I mean, we don't live in fear. We know that we're doing the right thing. We feel, we feel like being persecuted means that we are on the right side and that we are doing the right things. And, certainly we take the persecution as, a blessing.
Yeah. Well, we here in the Stu Peters Show family share that sentiment. You know, in 2015, the Center for Medical Progress started to release these secretly recorded interviews with abortion clinic personnel. Abortion zealots sued them and then got injunctions against releasing the full context of those interviews. What are these abortion proponents trying to hide? What are they running from?
Yeah, that was actually pretty interesting. You know, abortion, this fetal research has been done. I mean, fetal research, I'm using air quotes here, but that has been done. Actually, the first law on the books regarding that was on the books in 1974. in Ohio. So this has been done for decades. Okay. And it was actually my facility where I worked, the affiliate out of Houston, was one of the ones that participated in this fetal research. And we were very proud of it. You know, we had a whole webpage on our website that was dedicated to all of this, you know, wonderful work that we were doing in the field, this, you know, breakthrough work that we're doing to help cure Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and all these other neurological diseases. And so it was quite interesting how protective they were of the information that David had gotten through his undercover work. I think that it was less about what he had gotten from them and more about the fact that he had gotten one over on them. You know, that they felt like they had been had by this pro-lifer. And certainly, you know, the information, I think that the fact that they were so callous in the way that they were talking about it, you know, talking about, you know, I'm going to get a Lamborghini, you know, because I'm, you know, getting all this money for these aborted babies. And, I think they did not like that their true nature had been exposed and was out publicly. But the fact that they're doing this tissue procurement is what they call it. And that, you know, that they're selling these body parts, that's nothing new. They've been doing this forever. And we used to tell women who were coming in, you know, we would convince them to give us the bodies of their babies. And we would turn it into this really altruistic thing, like, oh, you know, you want to consent to this because, if, you know, your baby could be the one that cures Parkinson's. And that was how, you know, we would convince women to give us their babies for research.
You know, a lot of people hear the word aborted babies, and I feel like they almost equate this process to like putting your old dog to sleep.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think that that's how desensitized a lot of people have become. You witnessed, the thing that made you leave was you witnessed a baby, a living baby in the womb trying to squirm away from or get away from its certain death. Mm-hmm. If you have kids in the room right now, you can cover their ears or take them away if you would like to. If you have an uneasy stomach, I'm not going to tell you to turn this off because I don't care. You need to hear this. You need to deal with the reality of what this actually is. Abby, describe how this process actually works.
So, in fact, I can show you because I have instrumentation here. So when an abortion is performed, one of the first things they do is they have a clamp like this. It's called a tenaculum. And this is what they put on the woman's cervix. And it has these sharp little points on the end here. And this is what they clamp on her cervix to keep her cervix from moving around. This is, if it's not done properly, this can be very damaging because this can actually rip off part of her cervix if the doctor is not skilled. But anyway, this is the first thing they do. Then they begin inserting metal dilation rods into her cervix. They're graduated. There are different sizes. They insert these into the woman's uterus, and they just get bigger and bigger. And they insert them, and they get rather large. This is what they would insert typically for a 12-week. Abortion. This is about as big as it would get for a 12-week abortion. And then they would insert something called a cannula. This is a 12-week cannula. This is what's actually hooked up to the suction machine. So you can see it's not flexible. It's rigid. It's pretty hard. This is a 12 millimeter curette, and it has a hole right here on the end, like a straw. This is what's hooked up to the suction machine. So what I saw was a 13-week-old baby. A 13-week-old baby is about this big. It's fully formed, arms, legs, fingers, toes, everything is fully formed. And I saw this suction tube go into the woman's uterus and begin to probe the side of the baby. And when it touched his side, he jumped and he began flailing his arms and legs as if he was trying to move away from the abortion instrument, but there was nowhere for him to go. The suction machine was turned on. And then after the suction machine is turned on, the suction is very powerful. It's about 10 times the suction power of a vacuum machine that you have in your home. And so the pieces of the baby will start to be suctioned into this tube. These get larger or smaller based on the size of the head of the baby. You have to have a suction tube big enough to fit the head. And so the head will collapse and then fit through this tube. Now, after about 14 to 15 weeks, the body is too hard. The body is too, it's not pliable enough to fit into a suction tube. So they will use something called a sofa clamp. And that's what this is. And you can, I don't know if you can really see it, but
hold it up a little bit more. Just hold it up a little bit more so I can see it.
Above. There's some ridges right here. There, you can, I don't know if you can hear that.
Yeah, I can hear it. Yes.
Yeah. So my fingernails are going against it.
Yes.
So there's some really deep ridges here. This is what they would use to actually clamp down like this on the baby's extremities. So they would clamp down on the baby's arms or legs, and they would then rip that out of the mother's womb. So they would pull piece by piece. They would pull the arms, the legs one by one, and then eventually they would pull out the torso and then the head. And then they would go back in with the suction tube and they would suction out the placenta and any other extra blood that's in there. And that's how they do abortions generally up until about 20, 21 weeks. And then after that, they do something called a digoxin infused abortion. And that is when they actually give the digoxin, they give an overdose of the digoxin into the baby's heart. And the baby will die of the overdose. And then the facility will then deliver a dead baby. Sometimes it's intact, sometimes it's not, but usually intact. And they apparently in some facilities are still doing partial birth abortion, which is supposed to be illegal. There is a federal ban on partial birth abortion, but we do still see cases where babies are being killed via partial birth abortion. And that is when they will deliver everything but the head. So they will deliver the feet, they'll deliver the whole body of the baby. So the body of the baby will be hanging out of the woman's body and they'll leave the head in the birth canal. And then they will make an incision at the base of the baby's neck. And then they will take a cannula like this and they will insert it into the baby's skull. And they will suction the brain out of the baby to kill it. And then after the baby's skull is collapsed, then they will deliver the rest of the baby. And of course, baby's dead. And those are all the ways that abortions are committed in our country.
In your movie, Unplanned, the challenge of taking down these people, Planned Parenthood, altogether, is couched as a near impossible challenge because of who funds it. Who's responsible for making this happen?
I mean, I think there's a lot of people. I mean, I think, you know, our government continues to fund Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry, no matter who's in the White House. When Trump was in the White House, we funded the abortion industry. We continue to fund the abortion industry. It seems like nobody can get it done. Nobody can really defund them. I mean, they could, but they don't.
Why do you think that is? I mean, why do you think that's such a tall ask? Why do you think nobody has the balls to do that?
I mean, it is a difficult thing because their budget is wrapped up in a very large budget, in the Medicaid budget. It could be done. It would take a lot of work. You'd have to sort of uncouple them from the larger budget.
Or is it that they're beholden to somebody else?
It's just a lot of work.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to take on the task of doing it.
So, I mean, George Soros is specifically mentioned right now who could do it.
They just aren't doing it.
George Soros is specifically mentioned. Is this true?
Yeah, George Soros funds a lot, but actually the larger sort of kingmaker of Planned Parenthood is Warren Buffett. He gives to Planned Parenthood specifically about $25 million a year.
Why are these outside billionaires so interested in killing American babies?
Population control. So particularly the minority population. So they're giving, Warren Buffett specifically gives about $25 million a year to abort low income, primarily minority babies. So and he's been doing it since 2007. And nobody seems to give a crap. I mean, I've exposed it. A lot of people have talked about it. Nobody seems to care. It's just acceptable for these billionaires to just give all this money to the abortion industry.
You know, for decades, worthless cowards that we know as rhinos, they've used Roe v. Wade as an excuse to not take action on abortion. So if
it's a good way to fundraise, right? Yeah. I mean, fundraising off of aborted babies is a great way to raise money for your campaign. And I mean, politicians have been doing it forever. We're going to fundraise off of ending abortion. And I mean, it's been pretty ridiculous. But back to your question, I mean, there are ways to, there are things that Congress could do to eliminate funding for Planned Parenthood. Many states have done a lot of great things. The state I live in, Texas, has, you know, essentially taken as much as we can at the state level, have defunded the abortion industry. But we also see the grassroots movement, you know, has just swelled tremendously. I mean, abortion clinics have closed in many towns just because there are people out there exposing them. They're out there praying. They're out there holding vigil. They're out there, you know, holding signs up that say, you know, this clinic failed their health inspection and people just aren't going to the clinics anymore. You know, pregnancy centers are exploding all around our country and are, you know, taking customers away from the abortion industry. I mean, there's been a lot of sort of groundswell just at the grassroots level. That's a great way to, you know, close down these abortion facilities. But another thing is that, you know, churches aren't doing their jobs. Churches aren't talking about this. You know, the pastors aren't getting involved. People are so afraid of offending one another. They're, you know, church leaders are afraid of offending their congregants. Meanwhile, you know, over 50% of women having abortions are sitting right there in their pews week after week. So, you know, we have a problem with apathy and just sort of ambivalence in our country regarding, you know, our murder in our country. And that's, the church has been a huge problem with just the abortion epidemic.
So if the Roe v. Wade decision upholds, mm-hmm. this, which I believe that it will,
yeah,
this buffer of protection for these cowards is going to be gone. If his ruling is delivered as it's currently written, what should we be demanding specifically from lawmakers to hold them accountable to voters?
Well, so one of the things I'm a little afraid of is that so there's 26 states where abortion will be illegal. Okay. But what does that mean? So, I mean, something can be illegal, but if there's no teeth behind it, then who cares, right? So I think there's some states where there may be, you know, a constitutional, you know, law on the books that says, you know, abortion is illegal. But if there's no criminal penalty behind procuring an abortion, you know, then so what, right? So that's one of the things that people need to do. They need to find out, you know, okay, so abortion is illegal in my state. And that's great when Roe is overturned. But what does that actually mean?
It means that it's murder. It's murder. And we need
a governor. If it's murder, then it needs to be treated like murder.
That's right. And we need a governor with the balls to stand up and say that. I will bulldoze every single Planned Parenthood facility in my state. I will bulldoze any facility that facilitates this murder of unborn babies, preborn, real living people. I will make it a criminal offense to fund anybody that does this. And if you're found out funding murder or carrying out murder, you will be executed, period. That's what needs to happen. They need to be indicted and they need to be tried and they need to be executed if they kill babies. And there needs to be somebody to stand up and say that and do that.
I mean, and this is what I've been saying, I have a 2-year-old. If I killed my 2-year-old, what would people say to me? They would say, you're a murderer. You need to be tried. You need to be convicted of murder. All right. Well, why is it any different if I kill a preborn baby in the womb? We need to have consistent laws in our country. And if we don't, if we as the pro-life movement say, well, a 2-year-old actually has a different value than an 8-week-old in the womb, then we're a hypocritical movement. Then we're not actually the movement that we say we are. And we actually don't believe in what we're saying. We actually don't believe that human life begins at conception. And if we truly believe that abortion is murder, then we need to start acting like it.
There's no question about it. Abortion is murder. And those who carry it out should be executed. There's just no question. There's no in between. And you know what? This is the most powerful prayer in recent history answered by God for the entire world to watch and witness and see his greatness, his glory, his power. And this is the time that we all need to unite. We're at war. This is a war. Life is literally hanging in the balance right now. Do you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. And I mean, look, we went to war over slavery, right? Why? Because there was a group of people who were seen and treated as subhuman. And right now in our country, there is a group of people who are seen and treated as subhuman. I mean, we are in our society at war, but maybe it means more than that. And maybe it should. If there was ever a time, if there was ever an issue for us to, you know, actually go to war over. You know, if there was ever a time when this becomes illegal, and if these clinics try to remain open and kill these babies, then maybe direct action needs to take place.
That's right.
And if there was ever an issue for us to stand up and say, this is something that we are willing to physically fight for, this is it. Because human beings are being killed. And I dare to say that if it were three-year-olds being taken into a facility to be killed by their parents, we would do the same thing. And these babies have the same infinite dignity and worth as that 2 or 3 year old. But yet we're all just sitting in our homes taking it. And we're just allowing it to happen. And we cannot do that anymore.
I will be right there with you. I couldn't have said it better myself. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Thank you for your bravery so much. And thank you for being here, Abby Johnson. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Love the hard-hitting truth delivered daily by The Stu Peters Show? Consider becoming a Red Voice Media premium member. Extended sit-down interviews, weekly in-depth reports, ad-free, premium episodes, exclusive content on redvoicemedia.com/premium. Defeat the lying globalist. Support real independent journalism. Full access to The Dr. Jane Ruby Show, Shots Fired with Deanne Lorraine, Marie Z Uncensored, and the military-focused Richard Leonard Show. All this and more exclusively on redvoicemedia.com/premium. Join today.
It is really difficult to hear all of that. As a father of three beautiful children, for whom any of them I would instantly lay down my life without even thinking for a split second to preserve them from anything that might bring harm to them, especially death. Hearing those details from Abby Johnson just fills me with righteous indignation. And as somebody who loves Jesus, as a person of faith, as somebody who fears God, it's difficult. It's challenging to know that we have to pray for these people. But we do. And I have a warning for them. If you don't repent and walk away from this, you will eternally burn in hell. Abby Johnson is a brave person. I have another warning for you. Inflation and tax hikes are Biden's only way out of this $28 trillion federal debt. So if you have 50 grand or more in your IRA, in your 401k, or in your savings that you've worked hard to set up the future of your kids, that money and their future is at tremendous, grave, imminent risk. So you need to protect it. Gold is safe. Silver is safe. Learn how to protect all of that with physical gold and silver. Call this number, write it down, 855-647-1372. When you call 855-647-1372, you'll get your free gold IRA kit. That's right, call 855-647-1372. These are my good friends over at Gold Co., and they're promising to hook you up with $15,000 or more in free silver with a qualified account. Can't pass that up. Gold Co. has already helped thousands of Americans to protect their retirements against inflation and tax hikes and the government theft that is imminently coming. So don't wait. Call them today, 855-647-1372 for Gold Co. Of the five justices expected to join Justice Alito's opinion overturning Roe, four of them are Catholics. The Catholic Church's decades of vocal anti-abortion campaigning have now obviously made them a top target for the forces of darkness, which are having an absolutely demonic breakdown over the news. Radical left extremists are now openly talking about terrorizing churches, targeting them for harassment and vandalism, or even worse. Across the country over the weekend, churches were hit with massive protests. In Los Angeles, protesters dressed up in costumes from the TV show The Handmaid's Tale disrupted a church service. In Seattle, demonstrators tried to provoke violence from police protecting St. James's Cathedral. In Katy, Texas, a church had its tabernacle stolen overnight. In Colorado, a church known for its anti-abortion activism was vandalized with pro-abortion graffiti. And in New York, protesters shrieked and screamed outside of a church, and when a man guarding the church doors mouthed off back at them, they, of course, started demanding that he be fired from his job. You see, just like with Kenosha and Kyle Rittenhouse 2 years ago, at many churches across the country, Jesus-loving, God-fearing Christian American citizens were left to defend themselves against the mob, while cops stood down, stood aside, did nothing. In Wisconsin, extremists made an arson attack on an anti-abortion group, but according to the Associated Press, all that happened is a fire broke out, you know, just on its own, like an accident. Remember, the press will always lie and distort and obscure in order to protect the left, no matter how evil they act. This is all repulsive, of course, but remember, we don't need to be worried. To the contrary, actually, we should be happy for this kind of treatment. In the Bible, Gospel of Matthew, Christ says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven." So yes, we should be glad that all of this is happening. We should be honored that we get to suffer attacks for the sake of righteousness. And we should also be glad that the forces of evil are revealing themselves so nakedly before us. They can't help themselves. When they march and protest, when they gloat about how wicked and evil they are, we should rejoice and be glad. When they boast about their own abortions and about their eagerness to have more in the future, amen. Because they will receive their reward someday. Chad McDowell was one of the Catholics standing outside of his church over the weekend to defend it from demonic pro-abortion activists, and he joins us now. Chad, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me on, Stu. It's a pleasure to be here.
So as you were watching this, I mean, I have to ask you, to me at least, when I was viewing the film of this, this looks like people are following orders that are directly sent from hell.
Yeah, I mean, I'd agree. That's exactly what it is. You know, these people, they come outside, they have every intention to attack the church. I believe before I even got there, somebody had tried to get in, and maybe they even succeeded. You know, they want to come in and desecrate this place of worship where innocent children are, where families are, for Satan. You know, their ritual sacrifice of that one lady who ran up and was saying, "I'm killing the baby," ripping apart a baby doll, screaming, "God bless abortion. And if God can kill his only son, why can't I kill my only son?" It's pure evil. And yeah, I mean, direct orders from the devil himself. It's awful.
Take us through this. I mean, what's going through your head at that time? I mean, are you rejoicing? Are you feeling the power of the Holy Spirit? I mean, how does this personally affect your soul as you're watching this woman carrying out this reenactment of the worst crime in all of humanity?
So as this lady is pretending to commit infanticide, you know, my eyes were closed and I was praying the rosary, you know, as were all of us. And yeah, you know, like you just brought up, it really was. It was the Holy Spirit that I felt, you know, flowing through my heart and coming out in the Latin chants that we were doing. I, believe it or not, you know, among the storm and among all the noise and this horrible attack on the church, it was then and at that moment that I probably felt most centered and most calm, because I knew for a fact that I was doing God's will and that we were doing the right thing, and that the infinite and holy power of God was behind us. So.
Well, you know, for a young man, you really do come from a position of real enlightenment. And I commend you for that.
Thank you.
I see you're wearing an America First hat. Obviously, you believe in America First principality, but this is more than that. This is a God First principality. And we are watching what could quite possibly be the most powerful prayer ever answered by God. I've said this repeatedly over the last few days because it's really awesome to watch him move and to watch him work right in front of our eyes to help Justice Alito and the other five justices to have the courage and the strength to remove this stain from America once and for all. How big of a victory is this in your eyes?
Well, you know, the victory is already won by Jesus, but yeah, I agree.
Amen.
You know, decades and decades of prayer have led to this moment. And obviously we have to keep praying that it really does go through, but I have full confidence that this draft more or less will be the final draft and that Roe v. Wade will be overturned. This is the biggest victory in like 50 years. Hell, it's probably the biggest victory in 100 years. 60 million, probably more, babies have been murdered over the past decades. And in most of the country, that's going to come to an end. I couldn't ask for anything more. It's
63 beautiful. Million in America alone. I have heard numbers close to a billion worldwide. Babies murdered by their own mother. A complete disgrace. You know, if you would have stood down, if you would have acquiesced, if you guys at the church or at any of these churches across the country where we're witnessing these atrocities, these abominations out here doing the unthinkable, you would have sent a signal directly to these justices that America is not willing to fight for this. That was a pretty powerful revelation for me to watch that, because you're signaling to them that, no, this is not a question of whether or not it is the right thing to do. It is a certainty about the morality of this country and a nation founded under God. We are a Christian nation. This is a Christian abomination. The murder of babies is absolutely against everything, biblically, spiritually, morally. And so I want to commend you for that. But in the meantime, you have cops that are just standing down and doing nothing. What do you make of that?
You know, I wish that the police had been more active, you know, with what was going on, you know, especially, you know, with these ladies running up and, you know, trying to break in. There were, you know, Antifa pretending to be media, like taking photos of the different entryways. And now there were police inside the church. So, you know, they were doing their job. I do think that their presence there probably helped a little bit. You know, maybe it prevented one of these people from just taking a Molotov cocktail and tossing it at the church, like we've seen in other cases over the past couple of days. But the police really should take a more active role. You know, the whole the legality issue, you know, isn't even like that. That really shouldn't be the problem. I think that's a fundamental issue with the country, is this focus on constitutionality and legalism, when really it's just moral right and wrong. These people are satanic. They might be engaging in, you know, free assembly, but they're literally pure evil, and they want to murder children and they want to desecrate this church. And the law enforcement in this country, I think, has an absolute responsibility to defend the good people, to defend the innocent. And so I do wish they'd take a more active role.
Well, I just want to say I'm emphatically pro free speech and peaceable assembly and all of those things. Freedom of expression, all of those rights, I'm 100% for them, whether it's a popular thing or not, whether I agree with these people or not. But these people here, God will judge. These people here will have a day of humility like none other ever before. And God wins. He's already won. As you said, Jesus Christ has already won. Death itself has already been conquered. Imagine that. And so these people have something a whole lot more coming for them than anything that the cops could bring them. Chad McDowell, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for being brave and standing up.
Thank you for having me on.
Of course.
It's been an honor. God bless you, Stu.
God bless you. It is their right to do what they're doing. Although it's uncomfortable to watch, it's difficult to accept, it is their right to do what they are doing. They have the right to worship Satan. They have the right to be demonically possessed and carry out this heinous display. And we have to preserve that right. We also have to preserve our own rights. Did you read the Second Amendment? I told you yesterday, make sure that you read the Second Amendment. You'll quickly learn that militia is not a bad word. Do not give them an inch on the Second Amendment, your right to keep and bear arms. Protect yourself, protect your family by any means necessary, along with your property and your liberty. If you don't have a gun, get a gun. If you have guns, get more guns. The only place to buy and sell guns, whether you're a private party or a dealer, is America's most trusted online platform, GunsAmerica.com. They're a sponsor here. We love them. GunsAmerica.com. All transactions within 50 miles are absolutely free. Whether you're a private party or a dealer, make GunsAmerica.com your choice. Go over there, sign up. You'll get Hunt 365 if you're a hunting enthusiast. You'll see experts in the field breaking down and reviewing firearms. There's all kinds of prepping information that I have a feeling that we're going to be needing sooner than we might think. And guns, of course, guns and ammo. Get lots of guns. Get even more ammo. Go to GunsAmerica.com. Again, make sure that you tell them that Stu Peters sent you when you go to GunsAmerica.com.
Uncle Sam says you're a terrorist if you know vaccines are dangerous, but the real Osama bin boosted are getting sick, and Fauci can't hide it. One man has had enough of the madness. There's a sheriff coming after the shot shills.
I'm going after them individually. Every single one of them, individually. I'm coming after you. Every one of them I am.
Christopher Key has founded Vaccine Police, and he will arrest tyranny.
Then they can be hung up. And they can be executed. So this stops. It stops here, guys. Let's go in.
Vaccine mandates for kids. No. Mask mandates for little Mikey. Heck no. School boards have been put on notice.
No man is evil. And I know man is all about money and power.
It's open season on treason. Vaccine police are on patrol. Old Bill Clutchill, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when vaccine police come for you? Support the resistance. Go to vaccinepolice.com. Forget the woo flu. Back the blue. Vaccinepolice.com.
Today's show has to be the hill that we die on. Christ will reign in America. Stay united. Till tomorrow, at this time, here's what's up to it. Here's what's down to it. Here's to any way you can get to it. Here's to those that don't do it. May they be dragged to it, tied to it, or forced to it. And here's to us who do it, because we're the ones that's used to it. I'm praying for you. Please pray for me. I'm going to fly low and avoid the radar. Listen, one day they're going to come for the car, and when they do,